Welcome, one and all. You have just reached the Tom and Topher podcast experiment. First word in entertainment, tainment. We explore the mysteries of the universe, our minds, and much more. So come along with us to the edge of all that is possible. Cheers, boys. Let's do this.
Guess who's back on the show today?
We got a special guest, and we'll announce him after this shot.
Wait, cheers. Let's do it again.
Re-cheer.
Oh, re-cheers.
Oof. We got some tequila in the house.
Hold up. Let them take their breathers.
What kind is this?
It's a cabrito. Mm-hmm. It's a reposado tequila, which has been cultured with whole tusks of vanilla.
So, boys and girls,
that rich taste.
And non-binaries. I'm sorry. That's not funny.
No.
Here. Listen, we got a guest, a long-lost friend, a man who we once knew and still hope to know, a man without limits, expectations, and without anything else to say, Francisco.
Yeah, that is.
I feel like I'm at the Golden Globes.
Yeah, he's got a whole ass introduction.
Welcome back, Francisco.
Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Tell us everything.
Well, it's been a tumultuous couple months.
We've missed you.
Yeah, basically a whole year since I've been on here.
Has it been a full year?
Yeah, just about, no?
Did you take the bottle opener?
No.
Where did you put the bottle opener?
Oh, it's right here. I hid it on you.
Yeah.
You didn't pass the test.
Sorry.
You don't drink
the tonight. Trial of the nine.
Nope. Doesn't have an open mind.
No, but Francisco had been on with us for many episodes previous to this one. But they were older episodes, and we've gotten a lot of comments from people. Quite a few comments from people. Not only the one that you heard earlier, but many people have been asking where you went.
Where'd you go?
You know,
never mind.
I don't know where you were going with that. Well, I mean, we're all young warthogs developing our own passions, tastes. We all met in a very emotionally turbulent time.
It's crazy
to me when we were comparing situations and talking to each other, talking through each other, you know. Just how similar we had ended up in very different circumstances to one, like, very shitty point in our lives, you know? So.
There definitely was an episode. I think it's heartbreak or something.
Mm-hmm.
Growth after something relationship. Bad relationship.
We have an episode where we explain everything that happened, pretty much.
Yeah.
But let's just do it again. Why not?
Wonderful.
We had a little bit of a rocky patch, each and every one of us. It was something that could have easily ended the podcast. And that was each and every one of us got out of a relationship that we cared deeply about. And we had to move on to new things. Bigger and better things. I think we did.
Oh yeah, big time.
I do say so. Being the one that's been the most disconnected from everything. It's just, I can happily say that even though at the time I didn't classify it as a relationship or, you know, she was just someone who had my love. It's been a great restart. And I can say the same thing for you guys. Like, you guys have always been awesome gents. Just seeing you guys do your passions and fulfill the love that you guys have is so cool.
Dude, thanks.
You should come along with us.
It'd be tight.
To the edge
of all that is possible.
Hey, amen. I've listened to every single episode.
The Holy Spirit, amen.
May angels watch over your soul.
Cheers to that, honestly.
Cheers
to
that. Yeah.
Give me a tap.
Yeah, don't touch my bottle.
Yeah, sorry, cheers to you while you're drinking.
It's okay, just don't let it happen again.
Just hope, you know, never mind. Yeah. Comedy is not working for me today.
You all right, bud?
No.
He's dehydrated. 100%.
I do get really stupid when I don't drink water. enough.
Man, not drinking water enough is stupid.
It is stupid. Because you get dandruff, your skin's dry as fuck, and you get stupid, like I do.
You're dummy thick.
Dummy.
Dummy
thick. Oh, but you're saying, before we started this podcast, you were talking about Facebook clearing it out.
Oh, yeah. So I spent a good hour cleaning up my Instagram and my Twitter. Just unfollowing accounts that just have cluttered up my feed, like political accounts and a lot of meme accounts too, just because...
What, you don't like memes?
I love memes, but sometimes, like, you can only see so many disgusting things before you... I am a dirtbag.
Yeah.
For laughing at this.
Yeah.
I do not want to be a dirtbag anymore.
There's no change in that.
So I have, like, my... four or five favorite meme accounts still.
Mm-hmm.
But I got rid of a lot of the nasty private ones that you've been sending me.
Wow. That's just a betrayal of trust there.
Yeah.
He gave you his highest quality memes.
Supply.
Well, when you send them and they're private, I refollow them so I can see what you sent. Just know that.
Wow, that's quality friendship.
You hate to hear that.
But anyway, like I want my... social media, when I look at it, I want it to be things that lift me up.
Mm-hmm.
I want to follow the right accounts that have whatever positive message that I'm going for. I will say I did unfollow a lot of like the motivational stuff, like Gary Vaynerchuk. And
yeah, he's a big fan of Ty Lopez. Why don't you talk about that?
But... absolutely not a big fan of Ty Lopez.
You don't
Ty
like
Lopez
him?
Is the new pyramid scheme. The new... person promising all these great things if you give him money, and a lot of people don't achieve that.
You know what I hate on the internet is cop videos.
Yeah.
Like whether they're the cop doing the right thing or the wrong thing, like I just hate it. I think it's because I hate confrontation, but these are just brutal. Like sometimes people get killed in front of your eyes on the internet, yeah. And you're sucked into watching it because it just showed up on your feed. And 30 seconds in, you're hooked. You see it. I don't know. I see a cop video, and I'm instantly like, okay, what's happening?
Yeah, and you can't look away.
And then, but after the video, I'm infuriated by how it was handled.
Yeah, there's that. The problem with it, what makes me so upset, is a lot of the injustice with it. And then also, no matter what's going on, lives are like either ended or changed. Negatively forever. Dude's going to jail for 5-10 years plus.
Yeah, that's a crazy thought.
I watched one, and I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of all the bad videos we watched, but I watched one that just like made me sick to my stomach. And it wasn't like the ones where the cop guns down someone for a dumb reason is one thing, but one cop was caught planting drugs in random people's cars. He'd do a traffic stop.
And I saw that, yeah.
He would plant like meth or something. And the video went through some of the stories of the people that got convicted for the, you know, false drug possession charge. And one dude lost his kids and stuff. And I'm like, dude, and just ruined my whole day. And I think that's one of the videos that like, I need to clean this stuff up.
Yeah, that's what does it for me. I get off Facebook after I see that. And Facebook, I think, knows... they know that that shit pisses me off. And, like, they got in trouble for that whole, social engineering type project they were doing where they were pretty much... they were putting things up on people's feeds that they knew would get a bad negative reaction from them because it causes them to comment on that whatever post it is, and that starts an argument. So what do you do when you get in a Facebook argument? You log into Facebook like 700 times that day to reply to whoever's arguing with you.
Yeah.
So it gets them activity, and it worked.
That's what I don't like about Silicon Valley is when there's a company that, you know, has an app that requires users, they build it to have active users. They try and keep their active user count up. So they'll do things to keep you addicted.
Yeah.
Facebook is really good at that, like you just explained. And what I really don't like about Facebook is there's a lot of moving parts. And if you really kind of dive into like the settings and stuff like that, there's a lot going on. And I always try and not sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I feel like a lot of those settings and stuff, the complexity of it, if you really kind of like go through it, it just seems like it's all smoke and mirrors to like get the most out of you.
Yeah.
The most data out of you, get the most.
Well, yeah, because data
get you to offer
more valuable than gold.
You know, way more information. If you were a stalker, this has probably never been a better time to be a stalker, to be honest with you. You could, if someone had their Facebook account open, anyone can find out anything about that person. You could probably like narrow down where they live, at least the general vicinity.
Yeah, there's no privacy. Like, I mean, you can put on private, but
yeah, you can be responsible about that. But there's a lot of people, a lot of like my own friends on social media where I'm just like, dude, if the wrong person saw your page,
yeah,
you'd be dead.
100%, and that's something that I was taught, me being younger than you guys. It was, you know, these 50, 60-year-olds telling me, you know, someone's going to find you because you took a picture and they can see the background kind of thing, became a reality. You know, their paranoia turned into something very real, because I have a friend that has, you know, tens of thousands of followers on Instagram, and she always says, I never post someone's face. I never post any, you know, notable landmarks. I never post any streets. There's a street name on my picture, I blur it out. I don't post it, anything like that, because of the fact that at 7,000-8,000 people looking at your post, one of those people are going to try and find you. One of those people are going to be fanatics, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's etiquette now. Like, yeah. There's things like mic etiquette, like always be as close as, you know, like 2 fists away from the mic or something. That's like mic etiquette. And now there's like this common etiquette on social media where it's like, hey, you just doxed that person. You realize that, right? You just caused somebody to just have their life ruined because you showed their address on social media. Yeah. So now they have to move because they're getting death threats and things sent to their fucking house.
Mm-hmm. Rocks sent through their window. Just an extreme amount of...
It's a big wake-up call to, like, the disadvantages of fame.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be famous, but imagine dealing with that. Mm-hmm. No. Like, I love my privacy. And, like, I know that, like, I don't know, there's not a guarantee that this, what we're doing, will go anywhere, but I know that if this does, there's negative consequences to it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I know that I could potentially get sued or followed or by the wrong person or, like, like you said, like we put something up like this video or something and now they know our face and
one of the first episodes you posted, you were like, I don't want to talk bad about Starbucks, you know, like they could be traced back, and the way that I talk about a company that I
that's a reality.
Changes.
But now I have a extremely positive opinion about Starbucks.
Yeah. I'm very glad that
you're like
that. One of us can keep our passions, honestly.
You're grinding your teeth right now.
I think of everything in the way that I think of cars. The value in which for every mile that you can put forward, and once whoever is driving you for whatever you may have a passion for, money, the connections that you have with these people, once your tank runs empty, that shit is empty. And I had so much passion for the smallest things that I did at work, and then now it's gone.
Well, there's only so much passion you can have for a company like Starbucks.
Yeah.
Like, they drain the passion out of you. And the only reason I feel the way I do is because I work at a cafe store, which I feel is how Starbucks should be ran. Like, they are just sucking the culture dry with these drive-thrus.
Yeah.
they're like, it's just a constant back and forth between window times and customer service. And it's like, do you understand we can't do both? Mm-hmm. And at a cafe store, well, you have nothing but customer service to deal with.
But the thing with retail is, you know, you hear it all the time when leaders talk, is that, you know, labor's the one of the only controllable costs that we can, well, it's a controllable cost. Man, so that's what they do.
If they could
have a cafe, or they could have a drive-through with great customer service, but they'd have to throw a lot of labor dollars at the store.
Hey, why don't you drink some more water, bud?
Yeah.
Keep yourself hydrated.
Sound stupid?
No, I just need you to drink some more water so you stay hydrated.
He's double fisting water.
they'll see it on the video.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Oh, that's true. Look at that. Hey.
Yeah. I was gonna say you're not in.
Oh, let me get in frame, brother. But, just a quick tidbit about
we're gonna get real cozy.
What dropped me off of the face of Starbucks is
I don't like
we
this.
Were no, it's okay, elbow to elbow. Get, rub them elbows.
Come here. He's touching me. My leg.
I know, I have a good body heat level.
I don't know how you still have a jacket on both of you.
Oh, there's a kitten here. Alright, back on track.
Yes. I was pushed to quit Starbucks when they introduced, I don't know if they were going to introduce you, so you're sore, Uber Eats.
Oh, no.
No, what?
Delivery Starbucks. Because there's nothing that you could want in this world more than a half-melted, kind of drizzled caramel frappuccino
dude,
at 8 p.m.
That's a great point.
Have you ever had a drink that has lasted more than 10 minutes at Starbucks? No.
Here's what I hate about all this right now is that, like, why are companies trying to go for, like, extreme convenience? It's going to get to a level here on Earth like what we saw in the movie WALL-E. People just, you know, with their cups, just slurping away on their, you know,
puree.
FaceTiming with their friends, doing nothing, turning into little Jabba the Hutts.
Yeah.
Just wasting away.
100%. And why I say that pushed me to quit is because I had originally wanted to work at a reserve store. A store where I had truly believed that it was for, you know, the coffee, the passion, the quality. I recently bought a $38 half pound of coffee because I know that that coffee makes me feel a different way than drinking what I did when I drank Folgers as a 12-year-old, mm-hmm. You know? So this implementation of Uber Eats just kind of, it was the needle that broke the camel's back because I have to manage the floor. I have to tell the baristas to keep a smile on when customers are bringing back entire trays of drinks saying that the ice melted. The ice melted in my drink. Well, what time did you order the drink? Oh, 4:45 a.m. What time is it now, miss? Oh, it's 7 o'clock, but I still want my drink remade. No!
Yeah.
What?
I would love to see the profit and loss statements.
It's, I mean,
for Regions.
Sometime very soon, this is not going to work.
Yeah.
Like, sometime very soon, people are catching on. People are catching on to the fact that Starbucks, they don't check. They don't care. They just want you to be happy. And so they'll give you anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
The guy came in today, said he came in yesterday, got two Americanos, waited way too long, couldn't wait anymore, and left. This guy comes in and says this all the time, dude. And what, you know, it's just like, you know what we're going to say. We're going to say, oh, did you call? Yeah, I called. They must have not wrote my name down. That's your guys' fault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they know. They have it figured out. There was this lady that would come through my drive-thru in a purple PT Cruiser. She used to come through at our old store that would say, oh, my drinks are made incorrectly, and they were so bad that I threw them away. Okay, miss, well, what time did you come in?
They were so bad I threw them away.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't even have them in my presence.
They were disgusting to look at.
Stench of your espresso.
Yeah. What time did you come in? I came in earlier this morning. Oh, okay. That's great. Go ahead and drive up to the window and we'll talk. So finally, I got tired of her shenaniganeries, as they say back in the day. And I told her, I was
her tomfuckery.
Yeah, it was a day that I had worked.
We never said that back then.
Right.
We never said that.
Yeah.
Back would in the know, day, back Christopher in... would know. Wow, what a throwback.
I initiated an age joke.
Wow.
Yeah, back when they were pioneering across the country in wagons, they did not say that.
Yeah, they were going and their one bore stroke engines. Old times, man.
I would love to choke.
Lucy, I think a whale's about to fall off. We're going to have to stop the caravan. Send word.
Send a crow.
Send a crow up to the...
The dog has hydrophobia.
What is that?
Hydrophobia?
Rabies. I don't know. It was in fucking...
He was afraid
hydrophobia?
Of water. He was afraid Old of water. Yeller.
Have you guys ever seen that movie?
I saw it once.
You're quoting Old Yeller?
Yeah.
He's got the hydrophobia. Jesus.
Okay.
But anyways, I told this lady in the PT Cruiser, I've been here for 12 hours. If you think you are going to get another drink out of me, you can drive 4 minutes. What did I say? 4 minutes to the left and go to a cafe store that'll listen to you, or you can drive 10 minutes to the right and listen to another drive-thru that's going to tell you to also fuck off. Thank you. And I had her leave, and I haven't seen her since.
Awesome.
I'd seen her so many times, I'm sure she had recognized me.
But you know, that's what Starbucks wants. This is everybody's third place. This is their home.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys? Mm-hmm. This is not your home.
No.
You don't come here every day and work for us, all right, bud? Mm-hmm. This is the customer's home, where they get to come and beat you like they beat their children.
Mm-hmm.
But then they give you a little carrot every once in a while, give you a heartwarming card. Well, actually, the camaraderie between the baristas is awesome.
It's the only thing that
keeps you guys people... are in the trenches, and the enemy is firing mustard gas at you, and... Like, we're in this together, okay? So there's a brotherhood and sisterhood that is built from that.
Yeah, it's like every day at certain stores, it's hell. I don't work at a store that's like that anymore.
Yeah, and
you got set up pretty good.
Yeah.
And it was against your will, wasn't it? You wanted
to
say.
But I was told by my general commander. God bless her.
God bless her.
God bless her.
God bless you, Jessica.
We all love you, Jessica.
We did.
Scout's honor.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely going to get back to her.
Yep.
Yeah. We love you, Jesse.
That's fine. She was,
miss you.
She was the best. She reassured me that where she was sending me was not the front lines. Nay.
Nay. Nay's for horse. Wait, no,
nay.
It's not the same.
This was... more like a sick bay for sad and hurt baristas. And she was right. And now I'm in a cafe, which, like I said, is the way a store should be ran. No drive-thru. If you want to make coffee and go into this whole, like, oh, let's be also personable with these people who treat us like shit and talk to us like we're computers, it actually works in the store that I'm currently at, and you know, you look down the street, Francisco literally works down the street, and it's a whole different story.
They should automate. If they wanted to have drive-thrus, if they wanted to reap the benefits of drive-thrus, they should figure out a way to where that portion is automated, but in the inside, the cafe portion, that's where you have the baristas. That's where you have the connections.
Dude, 20 years, these cafes, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, 20 years from now, you think people are going to give a shit about cafes?
I think 20 years from now, craftsmanship is going to reemerge as something that is emphasized and important. And I think that that is going to be the new way that people make money. Because 100%. Everything else is going to be automated.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think that's like the equivalent of somebody in Egypt back like thousands of years ago saying, one day, dude, hieroglyphics are going to come back, bro.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Because
No.
Because what will we have left after automation?
That personal touch is gone.
Ashes and fire.
Ashes and fire after World War III.
Nuclear war.
There's multiple articles I've read that say that creative works are going to be the new way that people earn an income once automation becomes more prevalent.
Yeah, and I agree with that. Yeah.
So, or, like, if you're a painter, if you're a musician, if you're some craftsman of some sort, I cannot see cafes being overtaken by automation. There's something about the human element that has to be in there. There has to be a barista making that coffee. Well, if you're going to get a robot to make that coffee, it might taste the same as a barista. Maybe it might even taste a little bit better. But there's the cafe is so unique to humanity. It is the birthplace of democracy. It is where people come together, and it's true.
Dude, don't. I know what you're laughing about. You need to stop. I just got in my feels real quick about this song playing, and I see his dumb little smirk over there seeing me, like, just vibing.
Dude, I knew you in your most emotional... You remember when you listened to Joji?
I still listen to Joji.
I still listen to Joji, too. I like a good cry, alright?
I will weep to Joji.
100%. Yeah. But you're absolutely right, Chris.
No, it's okay. 100%. We can move on if you guys want. No, it's okay. I'm over it, too.
I had this conversation with my coworker. It was how passionate people run the Starbucks. Not the store manager, not the shift supervisor. It comes down to how much the menial worker cares. Because when I have someone who doesn't give two flying fricks about what they're handing out the
Thank
window.
Thank you for not cursing.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. Frying pigs about what's going out the window, it gets out fast, yes, maybe, but I've had this trend going around with my baristas where they put the whipped cream on the lid and then they top off the drink so that the drink doesn't overflow. And I was like, well, where did they learn that? They learned it from a shift supervisor who doesn't care. They learned it because the store manager saw the shift supervisor do it and didn't say that it was wrong.
So the whipped cream doesn't what?
So the whipped cream doesn't, you know how when you whipped cream a drink and then put the lid on it, sometimes it goes... You know, mm-hmm. through the hole. In order for that not to happen, they gently place the whipped cream on a lid and then kind of push the lid on with the whipped cream onto the drink.
I hate that.
It's disgusting.
I hate the idea.
It's absolutely incredible. That's
so trashy. The worst thing I've ever heard.
And you know what? It's like counterintuitive too.
Because all you have to do is pour less.
Yeah.
Just a little bit less in order for the whipped cream to flow.
You're more accurate.
But we digress with that. That's just, it's...
I would just scream and just dump out every... Just literally hit every drink off the counter if somebody did that.
Just go into primal state.
Get that cone out of my face.
But
you throw water in the barista's face who's doing it.
You wake dump up, the drink into their them. Face. It's like 165 in their eyes.
But that's the thing is I took a drink out of a barista's hand and I threw it away. I was like, you're going to hand this to someone. You might as well have spit in this. You didn't make it correctly. You acknowledged that you didn't make it correctly after I asked you what you were doing, and you still continue to try and hand out this beverage. And you know what my store manager said to me? Stop trying to make them feel stupid. Stop. I'm not trying to make them feel stupid.
They are.
They no. just are. 100%.
You know what? I'm all for taking on a project and fixing a struggling employee, but there's a point. There's a threshold. And it's that old saying, you can't fix stupid. No. Yes, that is 100% true. There are hopeless cases out there. There are casualties in life.
Yeah. Darwinism, man.
Starbucks has grown in a way because people who work there built an environment that is, like, consistent and loved by everyone. And then this whole, like, you know, labor, window time, everything that's going on with the, you know, they're pretty much trying to adapt to the fact that everyone loves Starbucks, and they're like, holy shit, each, like, my store added 13% customer intake or whatever. That's a shit ton of people.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that. 13% of the people who went this year didn't go last year. That's a huge chunk of people when you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people, you know?
Yeah.
And so, in my opinion, like, cafes are just, I don't know, like, Starbucks is gonna take hits, it's gonna have to adapt, and robots are probably the answer.
That's what I was talking about before the whipped cream on the lid.
Yeah.
I was just telling my coworker, I was like, there was a reason why I wanted to work at the Reserve store, like, Starbucks is going to backtrack into what they actually value, because the volume will never be an issue. Starbucks will always be Starbucks. Starbucks will always catch that pumpkin spice craze. Starbucks will always catch that, guess what, fancy schmancy new drink they're coming out craze that BuzzFeed will always capitalize on too. It's always going to be a thing because of how implemented it is into, I guess, an ignorant society, which is terrible to say, but the people who drink our drinks mostly want it because it doesn't taste like coffee. And they're going to a coffee shop for that. But eventually, Starbucks is going to backtrack and they're going to go full-fledged with those reserve stores. They're going to go full-fledged with connection, quality, and they're going to throw those stuff out the window, I believe, because of, like you said, the negative impact that it's going to start having. Like, people are eventually going to realize that they don't actually value that customer connection. They don't actually value that person-to-person thing. What they value is getting their drink in and out fast. There are express stores of Starbucks where there's nothing that matters more than getting the drink from point A to point B in less than 45 seconds.
Well, dude, like, I think all the time, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
Like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
Here's the deal. What could happen is they could have this app easily know exactly what this person wants, just like mobile order. They know exactly what this person wants. So when you walk in the door, this thing detects that your phone came in or your watch came in or any device you have that is registered with Starbucks. You walked in, it took your money, it took your order, and it is making your drink before you ever even walk through the door. And so once you walk up, your drink is, you know your drink is being made. It's being made perfectly. You will not have to get it remade. And that personal touch that is going on, that Starbucks thinks is going on, this personal touch, it's not happening. Especially at certain hours like peak, that shit's not, that's not available. We don't give a shit about the customer. Honestly, we're just trying to make Starbucks happy, trying to make our boss happy, get these people in and out. And what will do that better is robots.
Yeah.
Like, think of how much money will be saved in just remakes with robots making these drinks perfectly every single time.
Yeah, yeah. If it's a recipe with oh so much of this and oh so much of that, they already have robots that make ramen, you know?
Yeah.
They have robots that do anything.
They have robots everything. That make cars. Like, why can't they make a latte?
A robot.
Yeah. It's a very, up and coming
thing. And there's going to be a time where they don't, like, what am I doing when a guy comes in and says, hi, can I have a grande coffee? And then I pour the coffee and hand it to him and he puts his card in. What am I there for?
Yeah.
Why can't he walk into Starbucks and pour a coffee and it charges him?
Yeah.
Starbucks is going to realize this, dude, and we are going to be out of work.
There's Amazon grocery stores. I don't know if they've been opened yet.
I've heard about these.
In Seattle, they have two of them.
Where you just go in, grab what you want, and it automatically charges you.
Yeah.
You don't talk to anybody. You just grab what you need and go. And it can detect what you took. And you're done.
Boys, I'm feeling another cheers.
Me too.
Deadass?
There's not a shit ton of tequila.
Allow me to inquire.
Should we put them on Chris's MacBook or?
100%.
Yeah, do it. And then everything we worked for is
just. Hold up.
Everything we've worked for!
Listen.
Oh, yeah, ASMR.
Stop, we're gonna get sued.
That's true.
Oh, I guess we gotta split that. I didn't notice how much was left.
We can split it, can't we?
No, I get the most.
Fine. Dude, you have more because I got work in the morning.
You have more.
Yeah, work at 6:30 tomorrow.
You do?
Yeah.
Dang.
I am doing a garage sale. That's some.
Yeah.
Some good. Yeah.
As the kids say these days. No cap.
What does that mean?
It's like when you say seriously or like bet, you know?
Dead ass?
Dead ass, yeah.
Okay.
That's been my tagline lately.
What's the one that's... It's like...
Oh, you guys are so old.
Ha ha.
Dude.
You got called old. What are you, 25 now?
24.
Wow.
Dang. I remember when I was 25, like, all right, this is the downward slope. I've turned the corner.
You're like, dang.
The next 5 years, I will be out of my 20s. That's going to be you this year.
You're already out of your 20s.
That's going to be you this year. You're going to have that realization.
No, because you've already put it in my brain.
You're going to go, the last 5 years weren't that long. The next 5 years aren't going to be that long. I'm going to be 30. And then when you get to 30, you're going to realize, I still feel like I'm in my 20s. Everyone made a big deal. Everyone's afraid of that. That's actually the best time of your life.
Your 30s?
Yeah, big time. You're at your physical peak.
You barely dipped your little ball sack in it. Why are you even saying anything?
Because I'm having the time of my life. Maybe it's just like circumstance. Like just my life changed. Life
changes. All right.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's just 100%. You guys are.
He's speaking
straight truth right now.
Look at this.
100%. Wow.
Yeah, nurse that.
Yeah, just nursing a beer.
Just nursing that beer.
Wow. All
right.
No. Yeah. All uphill from here. I mean.
No, it's great. It's a great time.
People still tell me, you're still so young. So I feel very young.
Yeah.
Ah, you're still so young. Remember getting that?
Mm-hmm. You'll figure it out.
Back like 30 years ago, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, 30 years to the day, actually. You fucking idiot. How's that for
you? Well, yeah, this is the Tom and Topher podcast.
Yeah, signing
thanks
out.
For tuning in.
It's like, I'm done. Just start fighting in the background.
just yelling.
They're getting a divorce.
Ow.
Oh, no.
Dude, Mac Miller.
Oh, man.
His album came out today. And what a doozy.
I'm not finished with it yet.
You need to get finished with it.
It's really good so far.
Yeah.
Consistent and great. Makes you think, ponder, wonder, cry a little.
What's that? Did he finish the album before he died?
I don't know.
And the release was delayed because of his death, or did...
No clue.
Was he... Okay. I'm interested to see normally, if it was produced post...
Normally what happens is, you know, they're like in the studio all the time.
Yeah, they have plenty of songs and up their sleeves.
They compile so many songs, and like a lot of the songs that are on there, he may not even have wanted to like necessarily go out. He just kind of made and fucked around within the studio, and they may have like completed the beat and put his vocals to it. But
yeah, well, so far it sounds good.
It's really good.
I was hoping it wasn't. Like, whoever owned his music after he died didn't just release everything. Like how the poet Charles Bukowski, you guys know who that is?
No.
Must have been before our time.
Oh, yeah, it was before my time. But after he died, his wife released a bunch of unreleased poems, and they were unreleased for a reason, because they were shit, and he didn't want them to be released, but, you know...
Were they enjoyed by the public?
No.
Nobody liked them?
No.
What?
He's got some great poems. I'm not really a poetry guy. Anyway, let's move on. Stop talking about old people stuff.
No, I like that. Because here's the deal. A lot of artists, like Mac Miller, they have thousands of songs that are just shit. And people think that, like, oh, they did every song that's on the album, just one after the other. And that's how creativity is done. It's just perfection the whole time. And Mac Miller's perfect. Jimi Hendrix is perfect. Freddie Mercury is perfect. And I can never do what they did. They're just people, dude.
Yeah.
Trying out what they like.
How many Pink Floyd songs have you heard that are ass?
Oh, shit.
A lot.
A lot.
Many. Most.
Doors songs.
ass.
Never even listened to one of their modern albums. Because it's ass.
Yeah. It happens. And you know why? A lot of it's because the labels force them to release a full album.
Yeah. And
really, like, two or three songs on there, the moment where they were creating music should have been an EP or just a single.
That's why I love Kanye, dude.
Yeah, some of his albums are like 5-6 songs.
Yeah, he doesn't. If he makes a good album, he makes a good album. That's it.
Yeah. Just,
that's it. I'm done.
That's all he's got to do, though. Like, I mean, you've talked about his up and downs and how unpredictable and uncontrollable he is. I mean, I can't imagine that he goes into the studio and tries to be creative rather than has this fit of creativity or this fit of passion, and then it's like, hey, open the studio up right now.
Yeah.
You know? And that's when he either bursts out a verse or, you know, starts on his music. It's different.
I feel like you can't just wake up and go, I'm gonna create something today. You can say that, and maybe you'll be inspired by something, but sometimes when you sit down, everything goes blank.
And that's why there's just artists who just live in their studio, because when you're in there, you're just playing, you're vibing, maybe even you have a TV screen with an Xbox and you're just playing. And then all of a sudden, boom, you get an idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that idea could be one verse or a whole song. And I've experienced that, like just one brilliant verse. It feels great. It feels just as good as an entire song just popping in your brain. And like, if you stay long enough, you're gonna have a lot of shit, but there's gonna be these little, you know, pieces of gold that you're plucking out.
Yeah.
You compile that gold into an album.
Nobody's gonna pick your brain better than you do, 100%.
Yeah.
How many times have you, like you're home alone on your keyboard, and you're just fucking around, and all of a sudden, a melody or an awesome chord progression just comes out, and you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, and it's...
And then you're just obsessed with that, and then it just builds from there.
Mm-hmm.
And then even sometimes that dies.
Yeah. Most of the time that dies.
Yeah.
And people just give up. They're like, well, I guess I'll never be Freddie Mercury. God, I suck.
Yeah, everyone tries to go 0 to 60.
That's what I do. But what's been great is the last, like... few months have been none of that. Everything is just like just getting me excited.
Yeah,
it's like I make something shitty, it's like, well, there's that.
Yeah, I got that out of the way.
Because before this endeavor, I had feared never doing anything, and when I sit there and I contemplate, you know, I want to write a song, like, but damn, I have nothing. No experience, like, I've seen Drake, I've seen, like, he has millions of papers with just lyrics everywhere, it's like, damn, if I just made a song right now, it'd just be shit, it'd be nothing, I'd have to go through so much shit in order to get to where most people get, and that's where people stop, that's where I stop. It's like, the anticipation of knowing that you have to suffer through some shit to get some gold.
Yeah.
And that's where people stop. They know they have to suffer through some bullshit to get the gold. And the bullshit is not fun. There's hundreds of little melodies that you have to go through before you get that gold.
Mm-hmm. I read in a book, and I loved this quote, is that a lot of people think that they've given 100% of their effort when it's actually 60%. And if they were to just push a little bit more on what they think is 100%, beyond that is everything that they dreamed. So if you're like, you know, making music or whatever creative thing that you're doing, and you're going through all the frustration of, you know, being new or beginner at it, and you get really disheartened and frustrated and stuff like that, if you just like keep going, if you keep showing up to that, you eventually get to a point where you break through, the wall falls down,
and you're on to the next level.
I think that, like, a lot of people have a mentality that there's only one creative mentality. You know, like there's only one, like, there's something you have to access. Like, you have to practice enough and then you'll be like this person. Or, like, you know, they think that you can't just buy a keyboard one day and just start making music.
Yeah.
Because I'm not as good as this person.
Right.
Well, that person got good and then just started fucking around like you're gonna do mm-hmm. when you first get a keyboard or a guitar or start a podcast. You're just fucking around.
There are bands that are enormously popular that were not good at all when they first started. Yes. Like, a good example is the Ramones.
Look like, at any band. Every single
one of their songs is three chords. And all downstrokes, and everyone loves them.
Yeah.
And another one is Joy Division or New Order. If you listen to them live in their early days, they're terrible. Absolutely terrible. The guy on guitar is always fucking up, and you can't listen to it.
Well, that's where, like, people go back to their roots. Like, they recognize what I just said, that when they started doing this, they weren't any better or any worse than what they are now.
Yeah.
They've just developed in skill. They still have the same taste. They know what sounds good, and they know what sounds bad. And it's like, you've said once, a quote from somebody, I forgot, but it's like, if it sounds good, it's good.
Yeah.
Like, just know that.
Yeah, I read that in a guitar magazine. I think it was the guy from Deep Purple. The dun, dun, dun. Mm-hmm. Which everyone learns. It's one of the first songs you learn if you learn guitar. That and Smells Like Teen Spirit.
But also we were talking about this the other day.
Oh my god,
that sounded beautiful. Can you do that to me?
I'm ready.
I could, but it'd probably kill you.
Like, I saw this in a movie.
Eyes roll back. But something that I've had experience with and that I think is the key to creativity, and that is the illusion of detail. And the illusion of detail is something that I learned in painting and a little bit of music. But when you paint and you watch somebody like Bob Ross paint, or somebody like I don't know, whoever you're watching, they do these strokes that you go, how the fuck did they do that? He just did four strokes of his brush and he made a tree that looks like every single little like pine cone, or every single little leaf, needle, anything. It's all in there. And he just did four little strokes. But he used a certain brush, and he used a certain technique that he learned probably 20 years ago that allowed him to make a tree out of a couple little brushes that some people take years to be able to master.
Yeah.
This boy needs out.
I have a friend.
But it's key, this illusion of detail.
A friend of mine who I grew up with, who paints a lot too, I remember him saying, like, one of his teachers told him, like, draw or paint what you see, not what you know. So if you look at a cloud, if you're going to paint a cloud, don't just paint, like, a gray and white cloud.
Yeah.
There's blues, there's purples in there.
Yeah.
And
you need to be confident and make big decisions. That's what, like, Bob Ross says a lot, is you need to make... We need to make some big decisions here, he says.
Yeah.
And so, like, what that means is you need to take an overwhelmingly big part of your painting and just do it. So, like, a cloud, it's big, it's across the whole thing. But everybody, they just want to do little details. They don't want to make this big decision on their paper because, oh, if I do a big stroke, then the cloud's ruined and I just can't restart. I'll just give up. Our music stopped.
What happened here?
Super 6-4. what was I saying? I forgot.
Taking big
decisions.
Oh, yeah, big decisions.
People wanting to make small strokes.
Yeah, and those big decisions, it just takes a couple of them to make a cloud.
Yeah.
And if you go by what you're doing, by looking at every little plume of the cloud and trying to make that perfect, you're going to take way too long, you're going to kill yourself, and it's going to look terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you don't need to draw every single hair on a person's head that you're drawing.
No. If you get a right brush and you've learned the technique, just whoosh, and it's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that applies to every single skill. Like what you said with the band that you were talking about, how it was just basic. Just a couple chords, downstroke, and there it is, a beautiful song that everyone loves.
You know, if you were to say, name one punk band, everyone would probably say the Ramones.
What a throwback.
Hi.
I think with you guys...
Hi.
You just turned to me for my input. I think with you guys and, you know, being... And this, for once in this time frame, this isn't like a jab to your ages or anything. You guys having a couple years on me and, you know, understanding what was a fake passion with you, what was more so a passion of someone else's that you adopted, I'm still trying to push through. So when you said things like the law of detail and the big strokes for something so simple, that stuff scares me, you know? It's like, I don't want to... Every turn that I do, you know, it's all about... Every decision I'm going to make from now on is going to change every single outlook on my life or output of my life. That's scary, man.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't... Obviously, no one wants to mess up. No one wants to make a fool of themselves. But seeing you guys, you know, fulfill your passions and, you know, commit yourselves to some of these projects, which, like you say, you know, may or may not take off still. Like, you guys are committing to a passion.
Yeah. And
sick.
And those big failures that you're afraid of, and a lot of, like, this is huge in Silicon Valley. They always talk about, like, fail big and fail often. And that gets criticized a lot, but I am a believer in that, because that, when you fail, that's when you learn the big lessons that are ingrained in you. Like, yeah, you learn a lot from success too. You know it works, but sometimes, you know, those things that work have an expiration date. They don't, you know. But anyway, when you fail, you never want to experience that again. You now know what doesn't work, and sometimes the failure can be so big and so traumatic that it forces you into doing exactly what you want to do. Like, I'm done pretending to be this person. I'm done trying to impress my family. I was born to do this. I've been thinking about it since I'm a kid. I'm going to do it, and I don't care what anyone says. I'll cut all these friends and family members out of my life, and I'm just going to do it.
You've narrowed your view.
And when I succeed, I will be the one laughing, while you're the one still living your mundane, mediocre life that you wanted me to be a part of because you're afraid to do the same thing. And you're afraid of, you know, my decision-making is going to make you look bad.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
you got into it.
I got so into it.
Love
true
it.
Experience.
Fire. Burning.
Yeah. So, if that helps you at all, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Will Smith said, the other side of fear is everything you dreamed.
And, like, perspective.
The other side of fear is your dreams. I'm butchering his quote right now.
Perspective is great too, because once I was told, like, this little snippet, which was like, hey dude, so say you commit 5 years to something. Say you commit 5 years to something and then you fail. Me. You're still 29 years old. Do you realize that you can commit to another 10 years of something, and then another 10 years of something, and then another 10 years of something, and you'll still be alive to be able to commit another 10 years to something? It's like, oh shit. Like, I'm wasting my time at this point. Like, let's start committing.
Yeah.
Damn. It's like, y'all really know. A realization
I had to, like, I'm, the last big project I was on was a, you know, a startup, and I put my all into it. But it wasn't, like, for me. And I just had, once that kind of, like, all fell apart and everything, I realized I put so much effort into something else. Or something that, yeah, maybe I was interested in, but it was more so somebody else's dream. If I put that much effort into what I think about, things that I dream about, things that I wake up and think about, things I wish that I was doing, if I put that much effort into it, like losing sleep, stressing out,
yeah,
like not hanging out with friends, reducing my social time, reducing time at work, if I were to put that same effort into things that I would want to, that I want to do, it wouldn't be very long till I reap the benefits of that. And I'm, it's really, also hard. I'm glad that I, you know, boy. Yeah, I'm older, like I'm 30, but I'm glad that I realized that now I still have my youth, and you know, when I'm older. And even if I was like 40, 50, and you know, at that age, you can still turn things around. Maybe you won't be able to join the 49ers like you dreamed about when you were a kid, but you know, a good example is Colonel Sanders from KFC didn't do shit his whole life. And he started KFC as a senior citizen. And, you know, there's that.
There's that.
I was hoping for, no, I was hoping for an applause.
Yeah, hey, Chris. I was about to give you one, but my next thought was that, you know, like, we talk about this a lot. I've mentioned this a lot, that like one of my biggest heroes is Steve Carell, and he didn't get noticed until he was in his late 40s, I think, or early 40s. And he was doing like commercials,
yeah,
in his like late 30s.
I feel like no one really heard of Bryan Cranston until Malcolm in the Middle. That's when he really came in that show. He had to been in his,
yeah,
early,
no,
40s, or
yeah,
at the very,
you're right,
earliest is late 30s.
And like, I don't know. So like somebody like Bryan Cranston, he fails. What if he has this mentality, and like, what if he fails in acting? I think that Bryan Cranston could have done anything.
Yeah.
And with the mentality he had with acting, he fails that. That doesn't mean he's going to fail what he does next.
Yeah.
Like, people think that they have one shot and one opportunity to make it. And it's, yeah, like, no, you have your whole life. You have today, tomorrow, a year, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, however long you're given.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people think that you got to be a star by 19, the latest.
Yeah. Because, you know,
there's a lot. There's Britney Spears.
That's what I've seen. So it's how it is.
Yeah. But someone like Bryan Cranston and Steve Carell, in my opinion, are masters of the art. Steve Carell, master of comedy.
Yeah.
Bryan Cranston, master of acting. Some of his scenes in his shows and movies, I'm just like,
good, you nailed it.
God. Like, you nailed that emotion. A good example is in Breaking Bad, where he has that, that meltdown. He realizes his wife gave pretty much all of his money to that guy she was seeing. And he, mm-hmm, just like is screaming and laughing,
he's like laying
hysterically
up
in the subfloor.
Subfloor
of the house. My jaw literally was just dropping, like,
yeah.
This guy is having a nervous breakdown. This,
he
is not
made
acting.
That real.
This is not acting. He somehow accessed a part in his brain that allowed him to have a real nervous breakdown on screen.
Yeah.
That is a master of the art right there, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He made me feel a certain way. Like, I was watching a friend or a relative have a nervous breakdown, and I wanted to, like, help him, but I couldn't. He's on TV.
It's like when Master Yoda,
yeah.
perfected his skills in the saber.
Yeah.
going on to train Count Dooku, who later trained his predecessor, Qui-Gon Jinn.
Okay, Dwight.
Dude, I love how you say that now. You know how many people have called me Dwight in my lifetime?
Really?
It's fitting. Yeah. It's very cut and dry to the point.
Brittany and Cheyenne used to say I...
Hey, you're Dwight.
Wow, hey, what a throwback.
Yeah.
Brittany and Cheyenne. I saw Brittany the other night, but that, what's her name? All right, Cheyenne. Forgot about her.
Forgot
about damn.
Who's that?
Yeah. True.
What's that?
Who's there?
Just get that name out of here real quick.
Let's go ahead and move on.
Let's step off of that.
Let's cross this bridge.
That was a bit.
Hey. No cap or whatever you said.
No sombrero, my friend.
No sombrero.
Yes. See?
Enlightening with the terms of the youth.
I love that. I'm going to use that at work.
That's really unfortunate.
Why not?
I'm just, you know, if sometimes when comedy is coming out of the mouth of someone as aged as a wine in the aisles, it's difficult to accept.
I don't understand. Help me understand.
Aged as the wine in the aisles?
You're old.
Okay.
You're old is what you're saying.
A lot of the wine in the aisles are only like 2 or 3 years old.
Right.
At most. So you say I'm a 3-year-old?
Oh, man.
Or are wine years like dog years? There's like more.
You're walking down the wrong aisles, my friend.
Yep. You gotta go to BevMo. Sponsor.
Anyway.
It was great to have you back, Fran boy.
Man.
You gotta come on the next episode.
You need to come on more often. Always happy to have you. You're like our
part of the show.
You're like our Duncan Trussell.
I really wish I knew who that was. That way I could relate to that.
We love you on. That's all I have to say. All
right.
You're an excellent addition.
With the
we miss you.
The youth lingo.
Yeah. Get us all hip and jive and vibe.
Hey, no cap.
No cap?
No cap.
Hey.
Dead ass.
Dead ass.
Dead ass. I low-key love that saying.
Low-key vibes right now. Vibe check.
Vibe check.
That's what's up.
Hey. Shit.
That was probably the most masterful the most masterful whipping I've ever seen.
Yeah,
I hated it. I hated every bit of it.
This is falling apart, my guys. We need to end it.
No, we don't.
You don't want to end it?
Yeah, we can end it.
Hey, we had a great pod today.
This is actually one of my favorite pods we had in a long time.
Same, dude.
Not that I didn't enjoy the past, all of them.
Really. Yeah, I didn't really enjoy the past ones.
Yeah, if you guys haven't been keeping up, I've been keeping up. Every single episode has been a roller coaster of emotions with you guys. So,
really?
Yeah.
That's interesting to hear, because a lot of our episodes I don't watch or listen to.
Me too. Yeah. I feel like I should.
I honestly, starting this, like a what was it, like a year and a half ago, we would make an episode and I would listen to it like thoroughly. You know, just like...
Well, I shouldn't have said that.
Dang, I really messed that up. That entire podcast is shit now.
I hope no one hears that.
No, I mean, I've listened to all the episodes and, you know, the passion really comes through with you guys. It's just, you know, just natural conversation. Like this episode specifically, it's just, you know, like you said, we're just rolling with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just rolling with it and there's nothing...
It could be like that all the time.
I mean,
to
my ability. I mean,
bless him.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to be on here with you guys a lot
come
more.
Come aboard,
for sure.
You're trying to figure.
Are you
things
using
out?
That as a microphone?
You're trying to figure things.
He's
out?
He's been sitting there like this for like the entire podcast.
Where? Okay, let me make a point real quick.
Okay.
No, I'm the news anchor.
With his mic,
I'm the news anchor. You know, this podcast is basically a chronicle of, you know, us on our life adventure. You're on a life adventure. You're trying to figure out what you want to do.
I am.
So come aboard.
How old are you? 20?
21.
21.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You are as old as I was when I moved here. Yeah. You are on an endeavor that was very similar to mine.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of change up and coming, and I mean, I've told you my idea, and we're here for the ideas, and you'll hear the idea, and ideas will be partaken in.
So I'm going to keep in mind that you're the average of the five people you most associate with. And I'd say, you know, Tommy and I are pretty top tier.
Yeah, I would also say that as well.
Yeah, you guys are... You guys
come
are
here real quick.
Don't. Get away from me.
I mean,
well, just, I brush my teeth.
Not even as a bit. I say and do things and I act like you guys all the time. 100%. Like, you guys have such funny day-to-day bits. Like that little shuffle that you do at work, Tom. I do that all the time. The little awkward, like, hands to the side super stiffness that you do. I do that all the time.
I do that too now.
People think I'm friggin' hilarious. Yeah. And it's just like, oh yeah, this is my old friend Tom. Oh yeah, it's my old friend
content.
Bruce. Yeah. 100%. Daily content. Reap
the benefits of it.
Yeah.
It's all about the connections in your life.
It's all about bridges. Having a good funny homies. You get their content. Their material becomes a part of your daily, it becomes a part of you.
Exactly, Fran.
May the bridges I burn light my way.
Lit.
Woo!
That's great.
Where'd you get that?
At a thrift store.
Looks like an anti-fish shirt.
Ooh.
Last like call, that. Co.
Let's go.
Oh. Is that the mute button?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it red? Does that mean bad?
You know when it's mute when it's blinking.
Oh, okay. It's like this whole episode was muted out.
That would be great.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I would actually not... That would ruin my night.
I would cry.
Because I felt like this episode was such a...
Highlight.
An amazing flow.
Yeah.
We have it recorded for the first time ever. What's up?
Oh, yeah.
What's up?
Haha, what's good?
It's me, Tim.
Tim?
Tim?
What do you have to tell us?
You're my dad?
Dad?
Hey, Dad. I was wondering if I could borrow 20 bucks.
Bane, move your fat ass.
He's a thick boy.
Damn, he's a that thick boy's boy. Thick.
Yeah.
He's a thick boy.
Tommy feeds him well.
Oh, wait. That wasn't even recording.
Well, you have the other one over there.
They're recording over there.
I know. I think I ran out of memory here. Okay, guys. We did good.
Wonderful.
Good.
Loved it. Great conversation, guys. Loved it. You've just discovered the Tom and Topher podcast experiment with Tom, Topher, and Fran. Thank you for tuning in. Bless your hearts. Hope to die. God bless you. Angels watch over you all night long.
Amen.
We out.